gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, everybody. It's the best way to host an online meeting my listeners can try. GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on that try it free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. It's Wednesday.
Steffi.
Oh, heavy breathing I hear. Why? Could it be? Yes. Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes! Yes!
Good morning, Hal.
Hello.
I'm always in a state because I always I come into the building with him, Chris, while he's on his motorcycle.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a good time.
And y'all were trapped outside.
Hot, hot, hot.
That's
yes,
true.
Yes, I was secured out of my own building. Yes, my security badge does not work. Is there something I should know?
The security guard, and I, to quote Chris, said, I can't do anything unless there's a flood. Which is, this is California.
We're in L.A.
Yeah. Right. What about an earthquake? Nope. Not moving. I TiVo Dancing with the Stars. I'm not moving. but if there's a flood, I'm your dude. There's no waterways, but we're in a drought. We have been for... Nope.
Apparently tidal wave is the only thing emergency that
tsunami.
He's able to...
Mm-hmm.
All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Mama will be on The Ed Show on MSNBC tonight talking about Willow Palin.
Oh, boy.
And her homophobic Facebook rant.
Apparently.
Allegedly.
Well, I don't know if there's anything alleged. Well, yeah, you could probably call it alleged right now.
No.
In case you hadn't heard. Willow Palin, Sarah Palin's daughter, goes on homophobic Facebook rant to defend mom's TLC show. It was apparently she was on her Facebook page during this Sarah Palin's Alaska thing.
Right.
Getting too close to Grizzlies special. Willow Palin, the 16-year-old daughter of Sarah Palin, went on a homophobic rant to attack a user who ripped her mom's new reality show, TMZ reporting. Willow's target, a person named Trey, who goes to school with the Palin kids, wrote a status update on the night of the show's premiere, which read, Sarah Palin's Alaska is failing so hard right now. Willow quit back, ha ha ha, you're so gay. I have no idea who you are, but I've seen pictures of your disgusting. My sister has a kid and is still hot.
Meaning your girlfriend, who is disgusting, she apparently left out a chunk of words.
Yeah.
Her mom likes
she later
to
added Trey.
New words. She likes to eliminate them entirely.
Yes.
That's right.
She wrote, Trey, STFU, you are such a F word for gay man.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Mm-hmm. Why is it that when someone hates black people or Mexicans or any other race for that matter, they are considered a racist? Or if they are hate Jews, they are considered anti-Semitic. They're not considered Jew-phobic or black-phobic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But when you hate
the word's
people,
anti-Semitic, but yeah, I get
you. I mean, that's anti-Semitic is actually the word.
Right.
But
he's
what I'm saying is okay. why are you homophobic and not just a hateful jerk
bigot?
Yeah.
Douche nozzle.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm scared. That's why.
Once again,
I'm scared of gay people. That's why I have to post things on my Facebook to get them away from me. I'm scared.
Mm.
It's not that
once again, it's
judge
a,
them.
Another example of those family values that clearly only people on the
right.
have. And clearly gay folk and other liberal folk and various.
I guess that's how she's raised.
Yeah, we were talking earlier on the way in about how it was like. I mean, literally, it was like the pink elephant in the room, the pregnant teenage daughter on stage at the Republican convention. You're
right.
Like, if that had been Chelsea Clinton, if that had been one of John Kerry's daughters.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, and we're all supposed to just not say anything. It's like, oh, you know. And now you have, I mean, again, where do you learn this stuff? Where do you think it's okay to call it? And I was asking, James, Ed's producer, because he called me this morning to book me tonight. And I was saying, is it an actual guy? I guess it doesn't even matter which is worse. I said, was it an actual gay person, or she was just using it as a slur?
No, just as a slur.
Yeah, and I don't even know which is worse. It's like
that's the
whole climate that you know, a lot of people are speaking out against in terms of bullying and in terms of all these gay kids killing themselves. Because it's okay. That's the one word, Hal. You're right. I guess that's okay to use that.
And
you said the excuse would be like, oh, you know kids, and oh, kids just use those.
Right. That's what they're going to say about her is because, you know, she's a teenager and they blah, blah, blah. But they would never, ever let the child of a liberal or a progressive get away with that. They would if there was some equivalent. And the funny thing is I can't even imagine one. I cannot imagine Chelsea Clinton posting.
I'm just saying the irony in
anything.
The Isn't It Ironic file that
yes.
the Kerry daughters,
isn't it ironic?
Chelsea Clinton,
don't you think?
Classy.
Right, well-mannered,
you know, well-raised,
well-adjusted. Well,
yes, I'm sorry. And then we had the drunky Bush twins.
Twins with fake IDs.
And, you know, Bristol Palin. And I'm sorry. You know, it's just in there the side that always preaches family values.
We know how to raise
our
kids.
Like, they're the arbiter of that.
Our kids hate the right people. That's what we raise them to do. Yes?
Yes, Chris LaVoy.
I have a question.
Yes, Chris.
Did the Ed Show call you about these homophobic slurs because you're the only gay they know?
No, I think I'm the go-to Sarah Palin expert.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you have the gay on you, so
also,
that helps.
Well, yes, also okay. the Dancing with the Stars controversy. Apparently, there's a lot of rumors that the Tea Party is jamming the voting because of the obvious fact that Bristol sucks and is still
she made the
stars.
Top three.
And you're like, what, huh? How is that, huh?
Yeah. Brandon. People expected her to go home in the first few weeks.
Yes.
And now
yeah.
she's in the top three.
That's not going to happen.
No.
Welcome to Why Adam Lambert Came in Second, Part 2.
Exactly. Even though Adam Lambert is vastly more talented than the guy who won.
But he's the gay.
But he's the gay.
But
he's
you can't have the gay winning the American Idol, so we had to call in. I don't know why they have that voice. It was better than that than just going straight to redneck every time.
How? I mean, I just, you know, we're the happy, clappy liberals.
Yeah.
And when I think that we, just when I think we are actually making progress as a society on, you know, don't ask, don't tell, on, you know, gay rights in general and gay marriage, then you've got John McCain. Then you've got this story in this environment where kids are killing themselves. You just, what is going on in this country? I'm like, really? You're still using the F word for gay man as a pejorative?
You got a whole swath of red state America that, you know, those of us on the coast just fly over.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you don't know that they're there.
But again, McCain, what are the chances when she's the clearest speaker on this, that this is why kids are killing themselves? This is why they think they're second-class citizens, because their government is telling them they
are. Right, because there are adults out there saying that when you become an adult, I'm going to work to deny you rights.
Yes, you cannot serve in the military. You cannot get married. It's okay to use gay slurs.
You're unhealthy. You're mentally ill, or you've made a horrible, sinful choice. All these elements, they don't understand the cascading effect because they – again, there's a couple reasons why they think it's a choice, and one of them is they have to, because socially it's embarrassing for them because of the nature of the environment they live in, that if they have a gay kid, they have to want to believe, like in their heart of hearts, that they can either spank it out of the kid or talk them out of it.
Yeah. Well, Jesus. I mean, and I'm sorry, but at some point, I'm not the first person to go, oh, racist, homophobic, whatever, but because John McCain, you would not think is one of those people, but how do you explain this at this point, that he doesn't like gay people? He doesn't want him serving in the military. I mean, he's made up one rationale after another.
Again,
it's like, now the study isn't right, and we need to have another study. And
spend another $1 billion
and now,
on a study?
Even though the general
they were looking at the wrong gays.
Like, no, what I mean, and then most of the generals say it's okay, but he found the couple that don't, so we're going to go with what they think. I mean, it's like he keeps changing the goalposts.
The ones that Cheney and those guys pushed forward in there the entire time to specifically further this agenda?
Right.
He's appealing to his base.
Well, and also,
Arizona is a very red state.
He's also not... He's an old guy, and he was raised at, I'm not excusing
I mean, literally, but you saw his reaction to, 7 out of 10 in this study, Senator, are fine with it. 7 out of 10 in the military are fine with it. And he's like, oh, well, that wasn't done. It's not the
right
study.
You asked the wrong ones, because you asked the military guys I know, they all go, ick, and run to the showers.
That's because they're all 70 or above.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And because they were raised, not even that they, I think by nature they would be that way, but they were raised generationally to look at it that way. I mean,
yeah.
It was an entire, there was a social system in place to make sure that you thought gays were evil and that they were going to recruit you and all that fearful crap.
Yeah, between Willow Palin and this story, not the greatest morning for the march forward for gay rights. Far right upset that gays might be giving people pat-downs at the airport.
Yeah.
Americans for Truth About Homosexuality? Is that the group?
That's the group.
Yes. I'm just gonna go out on a limb and guess that the truth about homosexuality is we're all burning in the lake of fire.
Yeah,
that's
something
right?
like that. Yeah, that it's something. Sinful.
Mm-hmm.
The truth based on a single book.
Question the propriety of same-gender TSA pat-downs if the TSA agents doing the patting down are homosexual, lesbian, or bisexual. Ooh, it's going to be tough to police those bisexuals. I think, according to this, bisexuals cannot work anywhere.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you just never know who they might...
Can you imagine the paranoia these people live in for the fear of bisexuals? Like, I know I can spot a gay man, and you sure can't tell a lesbian in a crowd of women. But what those bisexuals, they sneak up. It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
They're like sexual ninjas.
You're going to look up one second.
You don't know where they're going to strike.
Running from giant groups of bisexuals. Pod people. Pod gays. That's what they are. They fall asleep, wake up, and they look just like your friend Edna. But they like
what?
Both. They like the...
And Hal and I were saying on the way in, there certainly is nowhere sexier for anybody than the airport security line. Because that is...
Those are the people who want to be patted down.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I always volunteer for the pat down. Because I'm not letting some, you know, non-oath-taking private employee take a naked picture of me that looks like a clay sculpture.
Right.
And take them home.
Right.
Again.
Yeah, you got your choice now. Either you get your junk groped or you get your picture on the internet.
Well,
your naked picture on the internet.
We were talking before the show. Janet Napolitano has said till she's blue in the face that nobody takes pictures or saves these pictures or prints these pictures out. However, Gizmodo.com published about 100 of them yesterday.
Right. And
So Janet Napolitano was lying.
And there's a story on Raw Story that says flashback. Feds saved over 35,000 nude scans from just one Florida courthouse. Here's the thing. Again, towards these people who are anti-gay.
Well, it's better than having a gay pat you
down. Well, let's be... Look, do you care about security or not? Listen, if you want somebody to be thorough, let's say you have a gay man patting down.
Let's test how much you love America.
Yeah, right.
You think a
straight guy who's squeamish about touching your junk is going to do the heavy searching that's necessary to save America from the onslaught of Islamic terrorists?
Right.
Or do you want somebody who will get up in there?
17. No, now it's 18 minutes after the
get
hour.
Get your face up in there, boy!
We have Christine Lotti and Representative Jan Schakowsky coming up on the big show.
It
it's a big,
second.
Big show today. Mm-hmm. But
a
you
really
know what?
Big show.
Like most of America, you're probably traveling, and we've already given you your choices in airport security. Here's how you can avoid all of it. Go to Mayday.
Yes.
Look at that.
You don't have to get a pat down or have your naked picture on the internet. How
or
about
get
that?
Your junk touched.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're only for junk touching in the right circumstances,
mm-hmm.
I recommend...
I'm sure you could use Go to Meeting for that, too.
Yes. I highly recommend Go to Meeting, brought to you by Citrix. All you need is an internet connection to meet with clients or colleagues. No more traveling, no more pat downs. So easy. Takes 2 seconds to download. You start a meeting on the fly or schedule one in advance. Go to Meeting. It's just like meeting in person, even when you're miles away. I've used Go to Meeting here at the Stephanie Miller Show, and we can't say enough about it.
That's right.
We would fall apart like an old jalopy.
We are going to be using it next week when Hal is in New York City.
Yeah.
We would fall apart like the Beverly Hillbillies jalopy without Go to Meeting.
Just
one piece at a time. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month. Don't let your business fall apart like the Beverly Hillbillies car. Get GoToMeeting. You can get a month of unlimited online meetings free with my special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try Free button. Use the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. All right. Write that up. Stephanie Miller Show.
My word. What a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller show. Thanks, Hal. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free for many of the rockin' congresswoman from the great state of Illinois, who has a much better idea than the Deficit Commission.
Yes.
Representative Jan Schakowsky joins us in just a few minutes. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, wow, there's more to the family values in the Palin story. So
only
was Willow Palin, the 16-year-old on Facebook making homophobic slurs,
mm-hmm.
about people that didn't like her mom's reality show. Bristol then came to her family's, fresh from her sucky dancing.
Right.
On Dancing with the Stars, came to her family's defense, writing to the aforementioned F-word for gay man that her sister just slurred, "You're running your mouth just to talk." Then all hell broke loose between the show's critics and the Palins. Bristol fired at someone named John, while also taking aim at Levi Johnson, the father of her one-year-old son. She wrote, "You'll be as successful as my baby daddy." Wow, what, they're just a class act, that whole family.
Whoa.
Class. Nothing but
don't
class.
Don't these people have their Facebook settings on private? They really need to.
Well, classy, they, classy family.
They can't, though, because that is the PR arm of the Tea Party, essentially.
Willow Palin?
Well, I mean, their whole family.
Ugh, they're like the freaking, I don't know, Hatfields and McCoys, and they're just all, you know, rolled into one big homophobic... All right, let's go to Vicky in Washington on Willow Palin. Hi, Vicky. Welcome. Hello. Hi, Vic.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm from a very, very liberal area. I live in Montgomery County, Maryland. Everybody's liberal. My kid used the word gay. He's 13. I gave him a very, very hard time. But his friends and him always do that. And apparently, I can't stop it. But the question is that, you know, Willow's 16 years old. Is there really, like, is this advancing the gay agenda or the liberal agenda if we're going to attack a 16-year-old who kind of just throws out the gay word?
Well,
are we going to say it again?
Does it help us at all? Does it help us
well,
at all?
Well, you know, Vicky, I have to take issue with you. I mean, look, I grew up in a right-wing family, and I never heard my family use racial or homophobic slurs, and so I didn't. And I had friends I went to school with that routinely used the N-word because their parents did. And they used it when you'd be over visiting at their house. I mean, and so I'm just saying, you know, somebody teaches you that that's okay. And I'm not saying you can control all of it, but that's why, you know, I have friends that work at the Trevor Project that are out talking in schools about how it's not okay to use that as a slur.
Right, right.
You know, we have to start.
No, I mean, I definitely agree. It's not appropriate. And, you know, that's what I told my child. But the problem is that I just think that attacking Sarah Palin and her now attacking a 16-year-old kid. Listen, I'm the last one that's going to defend Sarah Palin.
I totally get what you're saying, by the way. I understand where you're coming from, but I think it's interesting that they are held. I think it's because they're held up as a standard. That these are
Vicky, that's
she,
it, because they're the types
holds,
that are lecturing other people, including gay people, you know, that they
how
don't have the same family values, they shouldn't have the same rights. And I'm just saying, here, you know, and I think we are in a much more serious environment, aren't we, Vicky, when a lot of, you know, kids are taking their own life.
Yeah, I do think we're in a very serious environment. I just, like, I can see Bristol. I mean, she's out in the public. She's made herself a public figure. But I worry about us attacking a 16-year-old when she just throws out the word gay. Well, I don't know if it's a big enough issue.
She needs to learn that that is not right.
Well, Vicky, we're not attacking. I mean, first of all, she started by attacking others in a public way on a Facebook page. So it's not like we're picking some random 16-year-old and attacking her. We're saying, I mean, I'll give you an example. One of my dear friends, her son was getting anti-gay bullied. I think he's 8 or something, 8 or 9. And she went to the school and said, look, I don't want my son to be the next kid to kill himself. Make it stop. And they ended up, what's the word?
Expel.
I don't have kids. They expelled. They expelled the kid that was doing the homophobic bullying. And I think until we have zero tolerance, this is going to keep. I get what you're saying. We can't control what all kids everywhere
Part
say.
Part of it is we're in a.
But we got to start.
Yes. I know. I'm just. You know. Listen. I am in a super, super liberal area, and I know that these kids. But at least I'm hoping that these kids aren't anti-gay, and they still throw around that word every once in a while.
Right.
And
there is a trans. Like, somebody in the chat brought up a really good point: is the kids under 12 and you know around the age of 12 use the word gay as a synonym for goofy or something?
Or stupid.
But 16-year-olds do not. 16-year-olds, and it's not so much that she just used the word gay, which by the way, a lot of kids started spelling G-E-I-Y as a way of. Transform, like, it's not about homosexuality.
Differentiating.
It's just,
right,
to them,
right.
In many ways, like, using the word retarded has become, like, it's not, it's separate from its original intention.
Thanks, Dick. Great call. Thank you.
But the F word was the real set-off point in that, I think.
Yeah. And you can tell the way it's said.
Yep.
When it's spit out in a certain
way.
It's, all right, 29 minutes after the hour. Representative Jan Schakowsky next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a doll.
Yeah, she's super cute. Everybody says so.
No, trust me, not everybody. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, it was a tough midterm, but you know what? If you're going to have a congressperson, they better be rocking.
Yep.
And some of our heroes are survivors.
That's right.
In Illinois, the rocking Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, one of our personal favorites. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi, Steph.
So nice to talk to you.
Thanks.
Because we're picking ourselves up and dusting ourselves off, aren't we?
Absolutely. I'm in a fighting mood, and we're going to do the best. What did Rumsfeld said? You fight with the army you have.
Yeah. Go to war with the army you have.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing: is as you know, you've been dealing against a solid wall of the party of no on the other side. But I like the fact that, you know, in the wake of this deficit commission, you've come forward with your own ideas. I mean, rather than just saying no, no, no to everything, you know, obviously a lot of us, this deficit commission, some good ideas, some not good ideas in there.
Right. So tell
us about, you are obviously on the deficit commission. Tell us about your plan.
Right. Well, what I wanted to do with my plan was to prove that we can be fiscally responsible, we can reduce the deficit as the president asked us to do on the commission, but not out of the hides of lower and middle class people, that
right.
It really can be done if we do it in a fair way, not from the people who have had nothing to do with creating the deficit, who have done their share of sacrificing already. And so I looked carefully at the at spending and revenue and said we can increase taxes on certain people and we can cut in ways that, for example, a good deal from the military budget, although I have to say even the Bowles-Simpson proposal took $100 billion from the military budget.
Mm-hmm.
I do just 10% higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can come to what is called primary budget balance by 2015.
Right.
But the other thing I do is I say we also have to have some economic growth, and I raise enough revenue to put $200 billion into things like sending money to local governments so that they can do more hiring of police
right.
and firefighters and money into education investments.
Well, you know, Representative Schakowsky, I have to say, I don't know if you saw this latest poll that 4% of the American people are concerned about the deficit. Of course, I don't know what the other, you know, huge percentage, of course, is concerned about the economy and jobs, which would almost argue for Paul Krugman's, you know, that there should have been a bigger stimulus or there should be more. So your spending is, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, we can't just talk like all spending's the same, like spending on an unnecessary war or for tax cuts for the rich is the same as this stimulus that created so many jobs.
You know, there's a front page article in the New York Times today that says that if economic growth were half a point faster than expected, that the needed savings would drop from $1.4 trillion to $700 billion, exactly in half. So growth can be a major part. And, of course, that's what people want. That means more people are working. And in order to make that happen, we have to put money in the right places.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, your proposal cuts the deficit by more than the $250 billion target by 2015, as
right.
laid out by Obama, right? As you say, you know, that's my favorite thing you say, lower and middle class Americans did not cause this deficit. So, you know, again, why should they pay for it? Your Social Security benefits, of course, are not touched under yours, because that's what I'm thinking, why does my grandmother have to work till she's 70 because we got to keep the tax cuts for the rich? I mean, do you know what I'm saying? I think the priorities
totally
are misplaced.
Understand. It's like saying the janitor or your grandmother have to wait to retire because lawyers or Wall Street investors are going to live longer, because the truth is that not everybody lives longer. Lower income people have not seen an increase in longevity. Low income women have actually seen a decline. And so, once again, we're taught, and it makes sense, doesn't it? They get better health care if you're rich. You know, you can take better care of yourself. You don't live as hard a life. You don't have to work in hard jobs, physically hard jobs. But lower income people don't live as long, and why should they have to postpone their retirement?
Right. No, exactly. Obviously, the tax rate for the highest earning 2% of taxpayers, you allow obviously those tax cuts to expire the way they were intended to. The other thing I love in your plan is implementing cap and trade to tax companies for carbon dioxide emissions implicated in global warming. I mean, you clean up the planet and you have these corporations
and lower,
on top.
And lower the debt.
Right.
Exactly.
It's a
twofer. So, there are a number of ways, but we've actually seen over the Bush years, all of the growth in the economy, all of the wealth, all of it went to the top wage earners, and ordinary Americans were barely treading water if they were lucky, and many saw their income decline. Now we're going to say we have to have shared sacrifice. Come on.
Yeah.
It hasn't been shared. Most people have already done their sacrificing. Now when we go to reduce the debt that was caused by, tax cuts mostly to the wealthy, two wars, recklessness of Wall Street, now we're going to go back to those same people who have suffered from that and say, you have to share.
Yeah, exactly.
We've shared. They've shared.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's, what's the expression? It always escapes me. Something about the profits and then we socialize the losses, or I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something.
Yeah.
It'll come to me. But
But
privatize the profits and socialize the losses.
Thank you. That's
you
it. Congresswoman, I think it's... That's the thing, still on the other side, Rand Paul came out and said, he is not for, like many Republicans, they have ideas, mind you, but they're bad ones, like shutting down the government. I mean,
right.
He has come out and said he would not be for a government shutdown, but then he, in the same breath, says, as long as we balance the budget within 2 years, which of course is completely impossible to take the deficits that Bush left and completely balance the budget in a year or two.
Absolutely ridiculous. Even the Simpson-Bowles plan starts cutting in 2012, and that's a bad idea. We should not be doing cutting right now. We should be doing investing right now. 2015, that's when mine actually initiates these cuts. Some people even say that's too soon. We have to get the economy.
Right.
We have to get on its feet. But Buck McKeon, who is scheduled to be the chair of the Armed Services Committee, says not a penny from the defense budget. Even Secretary Gates, the Secretary of Defense, says that we should be cutting about $25 billion or more from the defense budget, that we don't need to spend it. So we've got a real fight on our hands for sensible deficit reduction.
And I'm sorry, but on our side, we've really gotten an extraordinary amount done, and they just sort of continue to play politics on their side. I mean, this whole earmark thing, it's like, that's great, but it's what percentage of the budget is that?
They say that in the Simpson-Bowles plan for cutting the deficit says it would be about $16 billion. That's a fake number, because a lot of these things are going to get funded anyway, not through earmarks, but it means that the agencies and the administration will get to determine those. So this is just one of those, fake symbolic issues that aren't going to do a darn thing. I don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's just, these are not, there are serious proposals and the other ones are not serious. You may disagree with some things that are in your deficit plan, deficit reduction plan, but they're serious. It's a serious solution to a serious problem.
That's because I'm a serious person.
That's
right. Except when you're on this show, and then I kind of drag you down. But,
okay.
Congresswoman Schakowsky, you got to get your, before we had you on, one of the things everybody's talking about today, and I apologize for the pop culture being injected into our serious situation, but I think it is serious. When we have so many gay kids killing themselves around the country.
Oh.
I don't know if you saw this story that Sarah Palin's 16-year-old daughter Willow went on her Facebook page and made a bunch of homophobic slurs during this reality show of Sarah Palin's on. And I mean, what is your take on that? Because we just had someone call in that said, look, it's impossible to control what all kids everywhere say, but don't we have to try?
It is such an important thing. There's a website that a Chicago journalist started called It Gets Better.
Yep.
Dan Savage.
Yep, I've done a piece for it. Yeah.
Oh, did you? Uh-huh. I love that because that has the capacity of reaching kids in places that are rural or isolated, mm-hmm. where everything in their community is working against them.
Yes.
And I hope that it's helping to create a feeling that the bigger world is going to support them if they just get through this time. Of course, we have to do something. And you know, I think it's a reflection of the fact that the culture war overall really has been won in many ways. You know, that they see that there is this greater acceptance of homosexuals in every way, that eventually we, sooner I hope rather than later, we're going to win marriage equality. And so they're hanging on by, I'm talking about the far right, they're hanging on by in some ways really encouraging this kind of homophobia and this kind of attack.
Well, and as, may I quote Cindy McCain, it's encouraged at the highest levels, not to mention any names, John McCain, when she says that, you know, government officials are giving kids the idea they're second-class citizens. They can't serve. They can't get married. It is...
Well, the don't ask, don't tell is actually a matter of national security. When we have such a thin military right now in terms of personnel, and we're talking about 30,000 or something number
right.
like that have been discharged because they're mm-hmm. gay. It that really threatens our national security.
Yeah. Well, Congresswoman, I'm curious, you know, as we wrap up here, what your take is on that, though, because I have to say, Hal Sparks and I, who mm-hmm. have been here, we've been saying, you know, we understand the only way to get it done is an act of Congress. That's what the president's been trying to get done. But, I mean, I look at the John McCain who just keeps moving the goalposts and saying, well, now it's not the right study. And are we at the point where this president should have an executive order? Because this, to me, just seems ridiculous that this is, it looks like there's little chance this is going to get done now in the lame duck.
Well, I would agree with that. I think it is just time to act, to say, you know, we've done the study, the majority, you know, younger people in the military could give a hoot, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're sort of done with it. They're past that. And I think we're talking about now the older top brass and their outdated ideas. And I think that we just have to stop it. It is the right thing to do, and it is the smart thing to do. I think all those people who are against it are on the wrong side of history.
Well, I mean, look at the anti-bullying legislation. You have, of course, your colleagues on the other side. The Republicans are fighting to not have gay be included in anti-bullying legislation because they
Isn't
don't want kids to think it's okay to be gay.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Because when we talk about bullying, we really are talking about jeopardizing lives, as you started with. We're talking about kids committing suicide. Isn't that? That is just the coldest thing I've ever heard.
Yep, exactly. All right, Representative Jan Schakowsky, so thrilled that you are still fighting the good fight for us and taking time for us. We will talk to you soon.
You too, Steph. Thank
you. All right,
you.
All right. Okay. There she goes. Why can't we have a whole Congress full of her? Why? Why? Why?
Because a third of gays voted for Republicans this year because they got talked into
there
it.
You go.
Because a lot of people on independents voted as a flip the switch or flip a coin mentality as opposed to paying attention.
Yes, I wonder how you felt watching John McCain on Meet the Press
right.
talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, since you voted for him.
Yep.
Good job!
And people who are to the right of him on the issue.
Yeah. All right, 40 said, guess what? Now you don't get to teach or be TSA employees either. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us, it's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
La, 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 la.
That's how we do it in South Central.
Yeah.
Okay. 50.
When was the last time you were in South Central?
We're close enough.
You know what? Actually, the amount of gentrification that's gone in South Central in the last decade.
It's actually really
it's
nice.
It's not that weird to drive through it anymore. As a matter of fact, if you go down to L.A. is starting to actually have a downtown. It's almost spooky. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Is that a skyline? What's happening?
Wow.
And you can actually drive out of downtown south of the 10, which is South Central.
Are we having some
a white person
bonfire of the vanities sort of frenzy right now?
No, it's more like
more
Grand
crash.
Canyon.
More like crash.
In Grand Canyon.
Okay.
Yeah. but, yeah, I mean, there. I used to go pick my friend Billy, who lives there up all the time, and I was, like, the only white guy who would come pick him up because I didn't care. And he was like, dude, we got to get out of here right now. But now it's like, no big deal.
Yeah.
It's a good sign. And it's not because
listen, Chris and I are on the same
racial.
Because we're the only white people that eat pho at the Vietnamese.
It's pho. Pho. Pho.
Pho.
It's pho.
It's pho.
It's pronounced pho.
Pho.
Whatever. It's the Vietnamese soup, and we love it. Pho. I got the stuff with everything in it. I don't know what the
tripe,
and eyeballs.
Oxtail.
Yes.
Eye sockets and a-holes.
Right. Yeah. An eye socket. I don't even care what's in there. I went with a friend the other day. She's like, that is gross. I'm like,
cat
I don't even know what it is.
People.
It's delicious.
It's cat food for people.
Are we going back to that?
Yes, we are. Put a dish on the floor. Here comes Steph.
Karen in Whittier.
Steph just by going, it's a can opening.
Well, you can
hello, Karen.
You can go down to Nickel Diner, and it's like you go downtown, and they're actually building it up. It's so nice.
It is.
It is.
It's a really good sign.
There's some new Ritz or something downtown, isn't there?
Ritz
Carlton. Yeah, it's like actually people want to hang out there now. It's
go
really
figure.
Great.
It's weird. It's
well,
really
that's because
weird.
We finally learned how to build buildings over 8 stories that don't fall down in an earthquake.
Right.
And we're like, okay, we kind of got it now.
I think we just noticed like a few weeks ago we have a downtown. Oh
yeah.
Well, and it's those beautiful old buildings. We're not like ripping them down to make something new.
Right. Exactly.
That's we're building what I love.
We're building all new buildings behind them and keeping their facades.
Well, no,
in some cases.
There are some really beautiful old architecture.
The train
down there.
Station. There's an old train station.
Tracks.
Yeah.
Go eat at Tracks. It's beautiful.
Anyway.
Thanks for calling us on LA architecture. Good morning.
Sorry,
people around the country are like, who cares?
What?
Because LA doesn't believe in history.
No, right. It's true. Because I lived back east for a while, and a lot of the houses around me, they're like, oh, that was built in 17 whatever, and this was built in, you know.
We're like,
down here in LA, we're like, oh my God, that house is so old. It was like built in 1974.
Right.
Well, you go to Beverly Hills, and they put up those ugly... Ooh.
McMansions?
Yes.
All right, let's move along, Karen.
Anyway, as the official autism expert of the Stephanie Miller Show,
yes.
I have a 15-year-old in high school. In fact, I just quizzed her going, "What are they still saying that?" And she's like, yes, they're idiots. Her words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Using gay slurs you're talking about.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And she does not. Because I've just drilled it into her, don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, she has Asperger's. I have Asperger's. My son is autistic. And, you know, I think because she has Asperger's, she understands. Don't do that.
Right.
You know, it's very clear to her because she sees the world black and white. But, and taking y'all to task, retarded.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I made the case earlier, is that a lot of kids, it has shifted in meaning to the point where it is so separated from its original meaning for
adults.
Them that they don't understand the damage they're doing when they use it.
Adults.
Yes.
Adults. I have heard more adults, and I'm like, dude, not funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I banned, what was it, somebody said the T-tards on the show.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, no, I was like, I banned that.
I was in a grocery store.
Yeah.
And two box boys were bantering it around, and I went up to the manager, and I said, look, you don't know who's standing in line. You don't know their situation. You don't know who's at home.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I go, my son is autistic. I'm autistic. Mm-hmm. Don't appreciate it. And I'm sorry. It is, you know, to those of us who have special needs, it's not appreciated. It is hurtful.
You're like, hey, Skippy, stick to paper or plastic and shut your pie hole.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
It isn't, you know, this is the cause. This is what the situation is like when you're living in a shifting time. And this is the good part of it. The silver lining to this is that we're having this discussion because it matters now. Where this was not a discussion 10, 15 years ago at all.
Right.
Our sensitivity to it is actually leading to shifts in that area. It's helped in every other situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll take some time. It is a generational issue, and it's a good idea to police your kids about it.
Yep. Deirdre in Annapolis.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Listen, 2 points. First of all, to the mother in Maryland who said that's what kids do, I raised 6 kids. Mm-hmm. They would say something once, pretty much to tell each other don't do it because she's coming after us.
Right.
You know, either you're in charge or you're not in charge.
Right, and Deirdre, that's what I was making the analogy. Like, I never used the N-word for black person because we didn't use it in our family, and it was understood, you know. And I'm just saying, friends did because it was okay in their family.
In the store, and I think, oh my God, that kid is going to live.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not my kids would live, but that kid is barely going to live. So I think it's a take charge attitude, and I think Sarah Palin, who has always been this family values person, has lost control of her family. I mean, I saw her daughter Bristol with that school teacher who hung the sign, worst governor ever. Bristol called that teacher a bitch and used other foul language while both her parents were standing there.
Right. Yep, that's right, dear. To think, I mean, you know what I'm saying, ironically? You know what it was that took Sarah Palin to task for running in the first place, having five kids, including one special needs baby? Mm-hmm. Dr. Laura.
Yeah.
It wasn't
a
liberal.
Right.
It's Dr. Laura that's saying you're not paying enough attention to your family. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Doggy, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Actress Christine Lottie coming up this hour on the big show.
Yay. You spilled wine on her.
I did spill wine on her. That's in the past now.
On purpose?
She didn't even remember until I brought it up last time I saw her. Oops. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Moore, to me, Stephanie Miller. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues apace.
Yes.
We are streaming both on StephanieMiller.com and on Hal. Oh.
Just on Hal
Sparks. Oh, just on HalSparks.com.
Yeah. When Hal is here, he takes over the streaming.
Oh, well, look at that.
Yes. See?
Was I apparently, being the control freak that I am, I was not told about that, or I would have gone insane.
Well, do you see two cameras trained on you, or just one?
Just one.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fine.
Okay. Does she normally have two?
Yeah, she demands it.
Just two angles, so she can pick one?
Exactly.
Okay,
we're
video streaming at HalSparks.com. Yeah.
Yes, / Ustream. We got 550 people in the chat right now.
Howdy do.
Having a great conversation about quite a lot of things, and sending us links about President Palin. The potential for President
Dear God.
Oh, my God.
By the by, Mama will be on the Ed Show on MSNBC today talking about this, the latest Palin daughter, Willow Palin, making homophobic slurs on her Facebook page during Sarah Palin's Alaska...
Whatever!
...thing, show. All right. That's the family values you've heard so much about. All right. Lots to get to, by the way. Oh, Lisa Murkowski, by the way, had some thoughts about Sarah Palin. Did you see that?
Yes.
She says she would not support Sarah Palin if she decides to seek the presidency because the former governor lacks the intellectual curiosity for the job.
What?
When did that phrase come up about a president last? What was his name? The guy who's been on the news a lot lately, rehabbing his image by restating lies that were proven false.
Yes. She said, I just don't think she has those leadership qualities, that intellectual curiosity that allows for building good and great policies. You know, she was my governor for 2 years, for just about 2 years there, and I don't think she enjoyed governing. I don't think she liked to get down into the policy. Yeah, apparently she doesn't like to get down into, I don't know, paying attention to her kids either.
Yeah. Parenting.
I'm just saying, can you imagine? We talked about this earlier. If the liberal candidate...
Right.
What's the one with a pregnant teenage daughter?
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, another daughter making homophobic slurs on their Facebook page. You know. Murkowski returned to Capitol Hill for the lame duck session. She said, this is a whole new world for my colleagues in dealing with me. Oh, yes, I imagine it just might be. She said she didn't know how she fit in with the purity test of the Tea Party Express. She even voiced support for President Obama. What? Hinted she would be open to some compromise. What? I think I know how she's doing on that Tea Party purity test thus far.
Mm-hmm.
Not so good.
Computer says nah.
She said, I'm not one of those who wants Obama to fail. If he does well, that means the country's doing well. We don't have time as a nation to spend all of what we do blocking. Well,
huh?
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Mr. Murkowski is like a liberal now? Almost.
Yeah. She's become the sensible one.
Well,
by the Tea Party and Sarah Palin made her into one.
By compromise, she means Obama moving in her direction. Of course.
Right.
She's not.
not going to move an inch.
By the way, Sarah Palin says the biggest, there was a New York Times magazine piece on her, and she says that the hardest, the biggest hurdle for her to run for president, and she's really trying to work this out with her people,
mm-hmm.
is proving her record and getting people to focus on her record.
Before she quit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her record of not really accomplishing anything at all,
yes.
then quitting midstream. I think all of her, she does have a lot of accomplishments. They're all PR accomplishments. She is strictly, as a public relations affectation, she has been very successful.
Hmm.
She hasn't actually done anything policy-wise, and nothing she has ever suggested makes any sense whatsoever.
I think her to have done a lot policy-wise. She's been paying too much attention to her family. Oh, no, she hasn't.
Right.
She has no idea what they're doing.
I think she's talking about her one album that she owns of Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. I think that.
Pay attention to my record.
That's wonderful.
That's all really scratchy.
Todd likes that.
Speaking of women with annoying voices, I got a letter from a fine American named Jeff Steph. I'd like to tell you about a man named Robert. He works in New Hampshire.
Yeah,
Jeff,
they can't get that from here.
He was fired because he didn't want to listen to Laura Ingraham on the radio. That's the only reason. He's not famous or a celebrity. He's just a working man who had his First Amendment rights violated. Why, who wouldn't want that on in the workplace? That is soothing. Jim, who wouldn't want that on in the workplace? How did they get any work with that done on in the workplace?
Right.
Hmm.
Though technically didn't have his First Amendment rights violated, it was a private workspace. And this is very funny because this is the thing that the Tea Partiers bring up all the time, that they're having their rights violated because of political correctness. Correctness. This is the big issue. Is it because we can't use racist slurs? I'm having my free speech file. No, you can still use them. We could just call you out for them. But if somebody criticizes me, that's a violation of my free speech. You're not acting your free speech rights out. You're violating mine by calling me
by
a
using
jerk,
yours,
right? For being one.
Stan in Napa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Stan. Hello, Stan. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
A long time.
Yes. Thank
Wonderful.
You.
I think you're great.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, I'm here to talk about. I was a principal for many years in education for about 25 years, and when we use the term bullying, it kind of denotes middle schoolers hanging out, kind of messing with each other. And what I started doing with students is using the term harassment, or in this term, sexual harassment, which is exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at it in that terms, we call the local police, and we get them involved because this is a very, very serious matter because people hurt each other over this. They beat each other up over this, and this is harassment, pure and simple. It's not bullying. And until we get that through our head, until we start talking about it,
well, I mean, this story,
discussion at that level.
Right. I mean, this story really brings it to the fore, doesn't it? Because this is, you know, a family that, you know, again, sort of comes from this family values
Real
crowd.
America.
Right. That, I mean, where do we even start? With the pregnant teenage daughter and the other daughter making homophobic slurs, and then the other pregnant teenage daughter gets online and insults her baby's father.
Right.
And yet, these are the people that think gay people don't have family values. Okay.
You're right. Absolutely ridiculous. But we have to frame the conversation. I mean, you know, Fox News does a great job, unfortunately, of framing the conversation. And it's our job to frame the conversation, too.
Right.
And we should be framing this conversation in terms of sexual harassment. This is what it is. This is not bullying. Bullying is what middle school students do, and it's kind of forgiven, you know?
Yep.
But this is very, very serious stuff, and it should be dealt with in a very serious manner.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Great call, honey.
Again, it's a question of identity, too. You know, and this has always been the big fight between left and right, I think it's the left we recognize that being gay or bisexual or lesbian or transgender is a part of a person's identity. It is intrinsic to who they are. It's not something that ebbs and flows. It's an existence element. And they view it as a choice, and a flippant one at that, and one that can be scared out of you under the proper circumstances.
Which is why I do this story from the fun stack, which not at all because it's just another big story going around the internet that involves straight people, and so I think it's worth noting.
Yes.
It's from the crime stack, Jim. Out of West Virginia.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Mountain Mama. Taking Hill and Country Roads.
The Second, got to get my bleep button ready. The West Virginia woman who last month pulled a knife on two men and announced, somebody is going to eat my or I'm going to cut your throat.
Did that scare him straight?
Pled guilty today to assault and was sentenced to 90 days in jail. Melissa Lee Williams, 41, was arrested last month following a bizarre incident at the 77 Motor Inn where she was living at the time. One of the men was Danny Williams, her estranged husband. I can't imagine why that went awry.
Why you'd be estranged from that?
I don't know.
I don't know, maybe she's
a little too demanding, really? You think?
Estranged? Or was he duct taped?
Deputies reported that Williams, who was living four doors down from Danny Williams, showed up at his residence, asked him and another man to eat my while Danny Williams declined said invitation.
Declined. Mm-hmm. That's the best word.
Grits was the word.
The other man, Adam Watson, told cops that he agreed to perform at her request.
Oh, for his own safety. He took one for the team.
Let me give a little warning here. This just gets worse.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
Okay.
What? Oh, boy.
However, as Watson approached Williams, he became overwhelmed by horrible...
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Odor emitting from Melissa Williams.
Oh, no, come on.
Well, that's why she had a threat.
Why she had a knife.
As a result, Watson, quote, declined to proceed any further.
Yeah.
Hold on now.
Oh, man.
The offer was so attractive initially, what with the knife and all, but... Hold on now.
Did they not have showers?
I'd rather you stab me 77? At that point.
No bidets, apparently.
I'd rather be stabbed. As a matter of fact, stab me in the nose, if you could.
Let this be a lesson to you questioning a woman's freshness, because this... Okay.
Yikes.
At this point, Melissa Williams, quote, produced a lockback folding knife, opened it, and pointed the weapon to her estranged husband. She then uttered a line that has since ricocheted across the internet. Somebody is going to eat my or I'm going to cut your throat.
Wow.
When Deputy Mellinger arrived at the Motor Inn, he discovered Williams, quote, nude from the waist down and sitting in a living room chair. He also noted that all subjects appeared to be intoxicated and smelled badly of an alcoholic beverage.
Well, that wasn't the worst of the smells.
It's your straight person, yikes. Family values story for the morning.
That's the heterosexual lifestyle.
It's a choice. You know.
It's a choice.
That's how we choose to live.
It's a I don't know how much choice you can have at the end of a night.
That is sexy no matter who you are, that story.
When you'd rather go, you know what?
It's not a big advertisement for that.
Cut my throat. Just cut my throat.
They weren't a sponsor, were they? Oh, they're not anymore.
Oh, boy. Summer's Eve or somebody could make a fortune in getting a sponsorship on this story. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
She won't be riding a horse on the beach anytime soon, I think, is the point of that.
Because PETA will come after her for the cruelty of that horse.
I just love the end of that story. When the deputy arrived at the door, cops see a lot of, you know what I'm saying? They see some stuff at crime scenes.
Next time you see a cop, just go, dude, okay. I'm so sorry. For what? I know you've seen something in the last month that just, on behalf of humanity.
Is she the mountain mama from West Virginia?
Refrigeration break at the Fulton Fish Market? What the hell?
What
the hell is going on here?
You went there?
Yes, I did. 18 minutes after the hour. Let's shake it off. Okay. Let's run that one off.
Last year there was 110 in Seattle, and I thought, oh, I do not want to be there at the fish market.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right, let's run that one off, everybody.
Never gonna give you up.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Walk it off.
Yeah, the whole thing seems a little twisted to me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. She's been living in her uptown
world. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour.
It's kind of hoping for that Supertramp song.
Can we have kippers for breakfast? Mummy dear, mummy dear.
Jim Ward was referring to the story we did before the break about the
blah 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 blah.
Someone's got to.
We were running off that story. We ended up in the break room together, and we were just discussing the woman that held a 2 minute at knife point and said, "Someone's going to eat my or I'm going to cut your throat."
Well, this is a very interesting situation.
That doesn't get in this situation every day. Not in Bedford Falls, anyway.
It'd be funny if it happened to Jimmy Stewart. We just were having our what-ifs in the break room.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800.
I'm not questioning yes. Donna Reed's freshness. Well, of course, she's been wrecked up for a while.
Well, yes. Now you are. Not at the time.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm just saying, I don't know if it's a coincidence. Yesterday, at the exact same time, I'm driving down the street, and my there was an old lady in a wheelchair.
Yes.
In a skirt, and the nurse pushing her.
Oh, no.
There was a bump in the sidewalk, so she tilted
boy.
The...
Oh, no.
The wheelchair. Chair back got me.
Oh,
man. It got me one of those.
Was grandma,
oh, that, I got caught in that, oh, that wheelchair is tipping glance where you're like, oh, old lady falling over. And like, no, she's got her. Oh, my God, I just got flashed. You got me. You
was
totally
grandma,
suckered
was grandma
me.
Commando
oh,
or?
Yeah.
Oh, grandma.
Grandma was commando. Oh, boy.
Nurse forgot the panties.
There's probably a website for that.
Oh, man.
Flashing grannies. On wheelchairs.
I think anyone listening this morning is never going to have sex
horrible.
Again. That's the mission accomplished. Okay. All right. John Tyner is the airline passenger that was going through the that did not want the pat down, I believe.
But if you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested. I don't understand how a sexual assault can be a condition of my flying.
This is not considered a sexual assault.
It would be if you weren't the government.
Yes.
Oh, it's the government steady.
Yeah.
Well, your choice apparently is either to be groped by an employee or to have your naked picture on the internet.
Well,
I guess.
If it's a hot female TSA person, okay then.
How about if I fondle my own junk? How about that? How about if I really give it a good going over right in front of you?
Listen,
how about that?
Yes.
I mean? Almost done. There's no way. I could knead up this fabric.
Nothing under here.
Clearly. Look how
I'm
hard
done.
I'm squeezing it.
Keep talking to me all nasty.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Keep talking to me all...
Show me more of those pictures you saved.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at that.
keep talking to me in that controlling way. Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Chris, could you take your organ out for me? This from the Christian Newswire, Jim.
Oh, boy.
Americans for Truth About Homosexuality.
Oh.
Question the propriety of same gender.
Shouldn't they be Americans
TSA
for their opinion about sexuality?
TSA
homosexuality?
Pat downs. If the TSA agents doing the patting down are homosexual.
Well.
Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano went out of her way to stress the TSA pat downs are same gender, mostly to reassure women that men will not be groping them at airports in the name of safety. But what about homosexual TSA agents, said the president?
But can you ask to be groped by the opposite gender?
Yeah.
I mean,
who wouldn't take a shocker just for national security?
Isn't it just as inappropriate for a gay male TSA agent to pat down male travelers as it is for a normal heterosexual male TSA agent to pat down female travelers, he said.
You mean like Dr. James Dobson?
He'll just show them his penis, and that'll degay them immediately.
We could shower together, and I'll beat the gay out of you
and
with
I'll
my
shove a round peg in a square hole.
The reality is, most traveling men would not want Barney Frank to pat them down at an airport security checkpoint, he said. Because that's Barney Frank's job, of course.
I don't think a lot of gay men would want Barney Frank to pat him down, but I...
Neither would it be fair to assign Ellen DeGeneres to pat down female travelers.
Well,
I think a lot of... Most women love Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
Why do you think she has her ratings? Who cares?
She could pat me down anytime.
Obviously, Napolitano, he said, wants to assure the public that sexual tension will be taken out of the equation. Hence, we must take seriously the self-identified desires of homosexuals. Gay men define themselves as being sexually attracted to other men. Lesbians are sexually attracted to women. Bisexuals attracted to both. Oh, thank you for that little primer.
Oh, thanks.
Captain.
We weren't aware of that.
What?
Captain.
Obvious.
When did they get let out?
Captain Judgy Pants.
What are they allowed to do legally? Can they adopt?
I think his point is that bisexuals cannot work in any job of any kind.
No. Yeah.
Because you never know when they may strike.
The government overreach that's going on right now, every government employee may have the right to fondle your junk at any time right now. So we can't.
He goes on to say,
anybody.
Some observations, perhaps some common sense healthy discrimination is in order. The TSA should put conditions on employment for self-acknowledged homosexuals. They should not be assigned to pat down travelers so
right.
as to avoid to be put in sexually compromising positions. And as we've said, what is sexier than the airport security line to anybody of any
sexual
persuasion.
You don't want self-identifying gays doing it. You want secret gays being your pat down people.
Right back.
Keep it to yourself. Right.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, and just so you know, I end up going all the way on the first date every time.
Hello.
Is that okay?
With me it is. I would not tell anyone else that. Every other boy here would be furious.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, in the midst of the hump days with Hal Barks. Actress Christine Lottie joins us in just a few minutes.
Yay.
Check us out.
Very exciting.
Okay.
Unless she's stuck in the bathroom.
Will you stop it?
Yes, unless Lottie's in the potty, as Jack Nicholson once said.
Lottie's in the potty.
Okay.
Did he Bring really
in
say
the that? Hair, lead in the pencil, and Lottie's in the potty.
Okay. All right. Oh, let me finish this, take your organ out again. Americans for Truth about homosexuality.
Americans for their opinion about homosexuality.
Yes. Yeah. They are concerned about gays, the TSA gays, maybe sure. giving people pat-downs at the airport. They said, does the TSA know which of its employees are homosexual anyway, and how? If not, is it fair to travelers who may end up getting groped by homosexual TSA agents who are secretly getting turned on through the process? To allow homosexual agents to conduct...
Oh, it's no secret.
To allow homosexual agents to conduct same-gender pat-downs is tantamount to a new form of discrimination that must be recognized and prevented.
I have a question,
okay.
though.
Thank you.
How do the people in Americans for Truth About Homosexuality know that there are no homosexuals in their organization?
What?
How many homosexuals are actually secretly
That's
writing
insane.
Policy for the Americans for Truth About Homosexuality?
Do they know the truth about the Americans for Truth About Homosexuality?
I am not gay. I never have been gay. I love my wife. What do you think about that?
Let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
I never worked for the TSA in a gay way.
At the Minneapolis airport.
Janet DiPolitano explaining why you must either be groped by somebody of any sexual persuasion or have your picture on the internet.
We need to keep unauthorized liquids, powders, and gels off of aircraft, just as we need to keep unauthorized metal objects off of aircraft.
That's their problem.
That damn underwear bomber.
Unauthorized liquids.
How? Louise Sparks.
Well, it depends on who's groping you.
Hold on a second.
You might be dealing with some unauthorized liquids.
That's what got me in trouble with you after, if somebody doesn't eat my beef, I'm going to cut your beeping throat. I make an unauthorized liquid joke.
You created an unauthorized liquid.
That's it.
Well, there wasn't an unauthorized liquid before, but
they're saying Halloween Sparks in the chat right now. It's horrible.
Man, man, thank you, man.
Oh, I authorized it all right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you pack these bags
authorized.
Yourself? Waka waka. Has anybody asked you to carry anything else?
Okay.
Oh,
all
rent
right.
boy.
Yeah. All right. A TSA administrator.
We want to be sensitive to people's concerns about privacy, about their personal being and things, while ensuring that everybody on every flight has been properly screened.
Which means we'll take pictures of your privates and or grope them.
Hey, freedom ain't free, kids. You know, it's the underwear bomber. First the shoe bomber, then I'm like, now you're like, oh, now what? Now, what's the next thing,
Michael
right?
Chertoff is probably looking at every single picture and getting his rocks off.
It's time for the shock.
And lots of money.
This, trust me, this is a government-issued shocker.
Boink. All right. Lori in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi,
Lori.
Hi, TLC marketing finale show for the Palin Show. Palin's meet the Duggars. Bristol seduces a Duggar boy, lowers her skirt. Piper gets left behind, and nobody notices.
Seriously?
Has anybody seen the other kid that we had?
Yeah.
Didn't they have another kid?
There was one, two.
Oh, well. Oh, never mind.
Math is like science.
We'll just make more.
I guess the bear's got it.
Apparently, according to that Vanity Fair...
I guess the dingo got it. Todd, get in here. Let's make another one.
That's why I shoot wolves from my chopper.
Because
they keep running off with my pups. Apparently, according to that Vanity Fair piece, she may have picked up that kind of language with Sarah talking to and about Todd.
Oh, really? Isn't that delightful?
They use lovely, colorful language when they're screaming to each other, apparently.
Gene in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello. Hi, Jean.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I wanted to thank Hal for bringing up the issue of the use of different kinds of language mm-hmm. to refer to bigotry. Mm-hmm. The phrase heterosexism is a more of a corollary uh-huh. to racism and sexism. And
then homophobia, because it lets yeah. them off the hook, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It directs the attention towards the victim and not the perpetrator.
Right. I'm not a jerk. I'm thick or scared, and it's not because I'm weak. It's because they're scary because they have an agenda. It's so putting the onus on someone else's being for your discomfort. It's, yeah. And then these are the people who rail against the nanny state. So, yes. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
The second thing I wanted to say is I really would like for our culture to start celebrating heroes in the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. It's my understanding that someone was involved in stopping the assassination attempt by Squeaky Fromm against Gerald Ford, and that within a couple of days he was outed and his name disappeared from the news reports.
Hmm.
And
wow.
he was a Vietnam veteran. I believe he was a sergeant. I'm sorry I can't give you his name, but I think his name should be out there as an American hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, thank you for that. Wasn't there famous in World War II, right? A famous gay person that I can't remember what was something fairly major. Mm-hmm. You've told this story before.
Well, there's a there's an English code breaker who was gay. And,
yeah, that's it.
It.
Yes.
And
he
helps, you know, unravel the Enigma machine, which saved countless lives.
Yes.
In the
but he was gay.
Atlantic, but
yeah.
So,
can't have any
all right.
Gay spies.
All right. Jim, you have one Emmy, but you don't have as many awards as Christine Lottie, so we're dropping you now to talk to a much bigger name. Good morning, Christine Lottie.
Good morning.
It's so good to talk to you again.
Stephanie?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Stephanie.
it's so good to see you, and I probably shouldn't have brought up the time I spilled wine on you, because the last time I saw you, you had already forgotten until I reminded you.
And I forgot again, and
see,
now I remember.
And there you are again. Now, it's always delightful to see you. You have a, first of all, let's talk about the, you have a big guest starring role coming up.
Tonight, Law & Order SVU. Yeah, it's this character that I played last year,
right,
named Sonia Paxton, who's really complicated and fun to play.
Really well done, by the way. I've seen you play that role, and it's very impressive.
Prosecutor, she always plays you always play those high-strung, very type A, successful women.
Yeah, and this one has got some issues. She's an alcoholic, and last season she was drunk in the courtroom trying a case and had to take a breathalyzer test. And she went to rehab. She's coming out of rehab tonight, and she's trying to stay on the straight and narrow and doesn't always succeed.
Because, you know, it's so funny, having, like, met you, you just could not be more delightful and charming. And I was loud, because my first favorite, of course, was Dr. Kate Austin, the surgeon in Chicago Hope, and now this prosecutor. You always play this very sort of, what's the word, very high-strung. You're not like that at all in person, which I know that's why it's called acting. But
yeah, I guess I do get sort of cast a lot as intense people, and I guess I don't feel that intense, but it's fun to play these kind of off the wall characters.
Now, characters, the detectives, Marissa Hargitay and Christopher Maloney, they're investigating the rape of a college student, and so you return as the guest star, obviously, as the prosecutor to shake things up. So it's it sounds like really a great episode.
It really is, and what is so, I think, important about this episode is it really explores what no one is talking about in this country, which is that 1 in 4 women on college campuses can expect to be raped. And it is more often than not, the victims know their rapists, their friends or acquaintances.
Right.
More often than not, the girls are drunk and the boys are drunk, and these cases are not being reported to the police. They're being reported often to these disciplinary committees on campuses, and then they sweep it all under the rug because they don't want nobody to know any about it. And these rapists are getting off scot-free, and often women don't even report the rape. So it's a really important issue that this episode explores tonight.
Well, you know, Christine, interesting. Somebody brought this up the other day in the midst of this Don't Ask, Don't Tell fight, and, you know, John McCain sort of moving the goalposts again about letting gay people serve. And somebody brought that up. They said, you know, the amount of women that are raped in the military, how come, you know, how come nobody's talking about that?
Right.
My God, that's even high. That's like 1 in 3, I think, in the military. It's really a problem.
Right, but I mean, and they're worried about, you know, guys showering together, and yet, you know, nobody seems to address that at all.
Oh, you're so right. I mean, that's appalling. Every time I hear anybody talk about gays in the military, I think, well, why is there not all? That's an important issue and an important discussion, but why aren't they talking about this other thing?
Mm-hmm.
That women are, and if they do report it, they get, they usually get, what do you call it, fired or what do you call
discharged.
It?
Discharged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have no recourse to report these guys and to get them arrested. It's really appalling.
Well, and a lot of us remember, of course, the story of the contractor who could, you know, the big lawsuit or the big thing about Obama pushed for last year was the ability for this woman to sue after she'd been kept in a container.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And was unable to even sue in civil court for redress after she'd been raped repeatedly and imprisoned.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's an issue that needs a lot more light shined on it. Absolutely.
Christine, we all have
tonight does that. So I'm really happy to be part of this episode tonight.
Yeah, you move sort of so seamlessly between film and TV. Of course, you know, a lot of us have our favorites in your films, Running on Empty, Leaving Normal. You got your first Oscar nomination, of course, for Swing Shift. But I mean, television. You've also gotten you're kind of lousy with the Emmys and Golden Globes as well, aren't you?
I'm lousy.
I mean, my favorite was Dr. Kate Austin in Chicago Hope. I just, I mean, it is interesting, isn't it? How they're really people do that so much more now. I mean, A actresses like you go back and forth all the time between television and film, just depending on where the great roles are.
Well, that's exactly it, and I think today especially, and it was starting when I was doing Chicago Hope, our television dramas are often, I think, much better written. They're more compelling. The characters are more interesting than most of the feature films.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think today, especially with feature films being basically for adolescent boys and you know, inspired by video games, television is really more for adult audiences.
Yeah, well, for those that most people don't know, one episode I think of Law and Order has more dialogue in it in the 45 minutes that's actually airing than a 2-hour feature film on average.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Let's talk about something else because you did something. You won your first Oscar as a first time director, right? For Lieberman in Love.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's you and you're married to also brilliant director Tommy Schlamme, so you're a little intimidating as a couple, but
that's why you spilled the wine on me.
Yes, I was nervous. Who wouldn't be? But are you going to do more directing? Because, again, that's pretty, wow, right out of the box on your first film. I mean, what's coming up for you? More acting, directing, both?
Well, first of all, yeah, right out of the box, my husband was a little pissed off at that, you know, because he's been directing his whole life, and he's a brilliant director. And then I direct my first short film, and boom, get the Oscar. So, yeah, he was a little pissed off.
A little tense at breakfast the next morning. Yeah, sure.
A little
beginner's luck.
You pass the syrup. Why don't you get your Oscar to hand the syrup to you? I'm sorry, I was using it to stir my batter. They gave me a spare.
Oh, never mind. I'll use one of the Emmys.
The salt shaker or the pepper shaker?
So are you? That, I guess my question being, are you working on something now? You're directing, or what's what are you working on next?
What's coming up? Yeah, I want to direct. I love directing. I miss it, and I'm hoping to do that soon. But what is coming down the pike is a feature film that I acted in called Flying Lessons with Hal Holbrook, and that's coming up in February. And then I'm supposed to do a couple more Law & Order SVUs in January, and then there's a feature that I'm going to be acting in called Petunia that we'll shoot in New York early next year.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, I always see you at Rob Reiner's house, and I'm always curious, are you politically active, or do you just get dragged along to these political things?
I am politically active, yeah.
So you and your husband both very, because you seem just really just engaged in the whole political scene.
Yeah, we are. We both are. We both feel a little shellacked, as Obama said, from the last election, but intrigued by what's going to happen with this. Is it going to be more just the governmenting of no, and nothing's going to happen? And I don't know. It's, what do you think?
I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But it's just, boy, they really put in some crazies this time on the Tea Party right, didn't they? And you have to wait and see how some of them are sort of cartoon characters. You have to wait and see how they govern, right?
Exactly. I mean, I can't imagine they're really going to govern the way they're talking. I can't imagine people allowing that, because it does seem just so radically insane.
Well, if someone had come to you as an actress and asked you to play a Christine O'Donnell character, you would say, oh, this just has no basis in truth. This is...
Yeah, it's way over the top.
Nobody would buy this.
No one will buy this, although it would be such a fun character to play.
Absolutely.
We
look forward to seeing you play every character you play, including in tonight's Law & Order episode on NBC. Christine, thanks as always for your time.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to
all
you.
All right, Stephanie. You too. There she goes, Christine Lally! She's on a very tight schedule, Chris. You know how it is. Mm-hmm. This is the first time we've gotten to you have to be done at this time or the operator will hang up on you, because
right.
Christine is very busy. Because she has a zillion awards.
Well, you're on a radio
awards.
Tour. Yeah.
Exactly.
Radio tours are horribly difficult.
All right. 49 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Come on. It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
And it's going to do it again. I'll be on the Ed Show on MSNBC tonight. Don't forget to tune in and watch Mama.
And you're streaming live right now. They can look at your beautiful face and your beautiful turquoise top right now.
Which matches the writing on your cap.
No, that's a complete accident.
Of course it is.
Oh, this old thing. I just threw it on.
Style points.
1-800. Step one.
And the turquoise contact lenses. No, didn't.
No. Dan and Banger. Banger?
What? I just met her.
That never stopped me.
I got that from there.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan. How you doing?
Have you gotten that joke every time you call a talk radio show from Banger?
Well, yeah. It's the way people pronounce it, because they don't know how to pronounce it. It's actually pronounced Bangor.
Bangor. Okay.
Yeah,
pardon me.
It's not, but because we're on the East Coast and we have an East Coast accent, it's called Banger.
Okay.
That's why.
All right.
Yes, I do get it all the time.
Okay. Well, I certainly hope you Parker Spitzer her first.
I love the way what you guys talk. You guys talk just about everything. Mm-hmm. And that's what America needs, because there's so much going on nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten to a point like, what is wrong with America? You're right, it is. What is wrong? I mean, you can't talk about this, you can't talk about that, because you're insulting this person or you're insulting that person. I happen to be of Franco-American descent, mm-hmm. and I'm very proud to be Franco-American. But the thing of it is, I always get this, pardon my French. Well, what does that mean?
You're like, Zacchus!
Pardon my French.
Exactly. All right, honey. Let's go to what?
Unfortunately, people hear Franco-American, they think of spaghetti.
Totally.
Franco-American. SpaghettiOs. Mm. John in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show in defense of the Palins. Hello, John.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Regarding Sarah Palin's daughter, can I ask you and Hal and the gang a question?
Mm.
What's more important to you guys in the gay community? Sarah Palin's daughter, or the fact that Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Harry Reid, Joe Biden, and John Kerry are all staunch opponents of gay marriage?
I'll give you one major difference in that Barack Obama, when he addresses it, says that he was brought up to not believe that gays should have the right to be married, or that that's his religious belief, but that he governs all people and that everyone should be treated fairly, and his policies reflect that more directly than any president that's ever held the office.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
Well, let me ask you this. Why doesn't he use his executive order powers, which every legal...
Because it can be...
Hold on, it can be done by the next president.
Right. Well, yeah, sure. I was answering it.
Why do asshats like John McCain continue to block it being overturned congressionally, which is the way it should be done?
He was elected president with a stroke of a pen. Mm-hmm. He could stop enforcement of the ADT.
Well, if John McCain is going to continue to obstruct the degree he is, then maybe he should.
I'll tell you what, you want the answer, or do you want...
John McCain wasn't elected.
Okay. Do you want the answer? Although
you're covering for him.
You're right. You're right, John McCain was not, but he's able to block it as a single senator.
He can't block an executive order. Absolutely cannot block an executive order.
Here's the issue. If the law itself is not overturned and Barack Obama signs an executive order and the next president comes in and overturns that executive order without an act of Congress, every member of the military who thought they could serve openly and who had served for 2 years risking their life would lose their benefits and be discharged. So the point is, if there's a time limit on an executive order, there's not on an act of Congress.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, go ahead.
Why do you think Barack Obama in his 40s changed his position from approving of gay marriage to opposing it? Do you know any other men who are in their 40s?
Actually, the opposite is true.
The opposite is true. What do you mean he changed his position? We had a hard break there. But, I wanted to ask him, is he really comparing all of these people that may not be for gay marriage but are fighting for gay rights against the stunning array of homophobes that have on the Republican side this time?
It takes more character to go against your regular beliefs than it takes to just reinforce them.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm here. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. Mama on the MSNBC tonight on the Ed Show. Tune in. Hal Sparks is here. It's Hump Days with Hal, and we are video streaming on Hal Sparks.
It's true. Which you can actually watch on the Hal Sparks iPhone app. I'm just saying. And actually, the chat works a lot smoother on it some days. So that's really helpful.
I'm surprised you can even see us because we just made America's dirtiest cities. California's got 7 of them. We're only number 2,
you
though.
You know why?
LA.
I love LA.
I know.
Dirty how? What kind of dirt?
How am I dirty?
To amuse you. Number one is Bakersfield. Number 2 is LA. We're dirty.
Wow. Okay.
Dirty.
I'm just saying, it's not dirt, it's clutter. We live big here. We've got a lot to do. We can't always clean up after ourselves. Sure, cities like Cincinnati are clean, but that's because nobody has anything to do but putter around them and pick up after themselves. There's nothing interesting to do.
And it means air quality. Dirty.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And it's 10 times better than it was.
It's true.
You can't even see it anymore, which is amazing.
Twoo. All right. By the by, I am going to be on the Ed Show talking about, what's her name? Willow Palin making homophobic slurs.
After a Val Kilmer movie.
Hey, we haven't done Elmer Fudd calling all the Palin children in quite some time, have we?
Twig. Willow, Twack.
Who's the other one?
Twig.
Westo,
Twig.
We're having lasagna, or maybe linguine, I'm not sure.
I think it was Wabbit lasagna. Okay, thank you, Jim. That was an oldie.
Twig.
Well,
Pony, not this time. Sorry.
Okay.
Show me now.
Bristol thieving. Palin thieving.
All right. We've been doing a straight stack. If you missed the earlier one about the the knife wielding woman demanded
that
two men eat her or she'd cut them. All right, that's not important now. Another one out of West Virginia. Drunk West Virginia couple accused of stealing motorized shopping cart from Walmart and taking it to a strip club, but they're straight, so that's.
Okay.
A man and a woman are charged with stealing a motorized shopping cart from Walmart and driving it to and from a neighboring strip club early Monday morning. They were charged with grand larceny and public intoxication. Yeah, that seems like a good idea when you're drunk.
And they were sentenced to work at Walmart.
Hey, it's not a real car. It's okay if we, it's kind of like a golf cart. You can't legally. Can't be drunk golf carting. It's impossible.
We're not driving, really.
What are we going to do, bump into someone with malice aforethought?
Okay, yes, this was the story in case you've just tuned in. Willow Palin, the 16-year-old daughter of Sarah Palin, went on a homophobic rant on Facebook.
A homophobic rant?
To attack a user who ripped her mom's new reality show.
Ripped her mom's new reality show.
Oh, God.
She, Willow's target, a person named Trey who goes to school with the Palin kids.
She, it was whipping sour Palin's Alaska.
She wrote, ha ha, you're so gay. She later added, Trey, STFU, you're such a F word for gay man. Then
cigarette.
Bristol jumped into the fray, writing, it came to her family's defense, writing to Trey, you're just running your mouth to talk. Nice family. Then all hell broke loose between the show's critics and the Palins. Bristol fired at someone named John while also taking aim at Levi Johnson, the father of her son. She said, you'll be as successful as my baby daddy. Oh, very nice. Very nice family values.
The Hatfields and the McCoys.
On crack. Yeah. On crystal meth. All rolled into one. Yes. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the other controversy is the Dancing with the Stars. Bristol Palin.
Oh, I just meant the dancing. Calm down.
I am Mr.
Settled.
Despite landing at the bottom of the leaderboard four times this season, she has managed to waltz her way into the finale of Dancing with the Stars.
What do you know?
It's like all the Scientology books that make the bestseller list.
Right.
Weird.
They just beat, who was it, Brandy and her partner, even though one of the singer's dances was awarded a perfect score on Monday. Odd that. Well, here's the conspiracy sausage. Conspiracy theorists have been accusing Tea Party supporters of gaming Dancing with the Stars voting system to ensure the Palin doesn't get
never
eliminated.
Those tinfoil hat conspiracy
certainly doesn't happen on American Idol.
Many saying this accusation may not be off base. If you look at conservative message boards, posters reveal they've been exploiting a glitch on ABC's website that allows dancing viewers to cast unlimited votes via email.
What do you know?
Huh.
If Palin somehow comes
That's
out on top next week, she'll be...
Theory.
When she'll be dancing against the season MVP, Jennifer Grey, the recipient of numerous perfect scores, then we might know for sure if something fishy is going on. Mm-hmm. Because I think, among other things, Hal, nobody puts a baby in a corner.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm.
So if she puts Jennifer Grey in a corner...
Oh, bad.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be very terrible.
Once you start Elmer, there's just no going back. Now we're fudded up all morning. All right. Can I have my royal music, please? Oh, if you, I know, maybe this is a chick thing. Royal wedding stuff? Makes me feel crazy.
Sorry, I'm getting whiplash from my yawns.
I don't care what you say. They're both 28, and they're really, really beautiful. She looks like, who does she look like? Katie Holmes a little bit.
Well, and also like,
the
actress.
Totally.
Her.
She's hot. You're right.
What the hell?
Okay, here's all the talk on the internet. Is it romantic or is it creepy that he gave her Diana's ring?
Creepy.
No.
Oh, I think it's romanticated. Creepy?
No, it's not creepy.
Diana's ring unearthed a lot of memories. It was spurring a furious Twitter debate yesterday. One thought the gesture was romantic and nostalgic. Others said it was tasteless and creepy.
Although I wouldn't go driving in Paris if you're wearing the ring. Just bad Joss.
I think it's romantic.
That engagement's going to hit a wall.
What? No.
What? Oh, what?
She will be the first commoner to marry an heir presumptive to the throne in more than 350 years.
Why wasn't I too? She's a commoner.
I believe the queen was told, and the queen was probably
not amused. We're
not amused.
Her mother was once a flight attendant for British Airways. Her father worked there as a dispatcher until they founded a successful business, which is, hang on, party pieces.
Party Pieces.
They're self-made millionaires.
Party Pieces.
They run an event planning business called Party Pieces.
There's nothing common about that. That's spectacular.
Yes. Until recently, Kate worked as a photographer for Party Pieces. They've been on again, off again for...
Wasn't Diana commoner?
KTHC
brings it up.
No, she has royal lineage.
Yeah, she does.
Oh.
They met at St. Andrews University in Scotland. They were both studying art history when they met, but Kate convinced William to change his focus to geography. Kate will eventually be in line to be England's sixth Queen Catherine.
Good heaven.
How many of those were beheaded previously? I'm not sure if that's a good...
That's an old thing, though. Beheading is right out.
That's right out.
And cutting off your wife's head, right out. I'd just like to clarify that from the beginning, before the wedding proceeds.
No.
Before you say I do.
Decapitation.
If you have any plans on cutting her head off, we just don't do that anymore, William. I'm sorry.
Still not enough.
Damn.
Let's see, divorce, beheading.
I have been so looking forward to that.
The other whether it was Stanhope or one of these guys was like talking about really wanting to see William behead his father, an old English tradition. You know, if you're going to seize the throne, really
seize it.
The throne. If you're going to be royal, come on. Right up in the middle of the night on a black steed and lop his head off.
With a pike and a, yeah.
Hold it above your head from the tower. I am your king!
You know what I mean?
Like, where is that?
The king is dead! Long live the king!
Yes, if you're going to call yourself royalty, you got to act like it, one would say.
Listen, well, you have to give it. Their wedding could not possibly be as romantic as Charles and Camilla in the music they played when she went up the aisle. Come on, you always got to get a horse joke in there. Okay, speaking of love stories.
He takes after his mum.
By the way, doesn't everyone in England have a little bit of royal blood with the amount of inbreeding? Because everybody was trying to squeeze one last drop of, you know.
I always thought my mom looked a bit like Queen Elizabeth. I think there may be something there.
I thought the same thing about Robert Plant, so.
Speaking of other love stories, did you see the pictures of Ryan Seacrest and his girlfriend?
Girlfriend? Really?
I wonder if Kathy Griffin's coming on the show soon. I wonder if she'll have any thoughts on that.
Is it girlfriend or
girlfriend?
Stop it.
Julianne Ho.
Ho, really?
Ho. Oh, that's too great. Says he is really romantic.
Mm-hmm. I bet he is.
And stuff. And okay.
Oh my God.
When does he have time to be romantic?
I don't know.
Yeah, really? When does he sleep?
Cry me a river.
Guess what? Keith Olbermann's suspension. Good news for ratings on MSNBC.
Look at that.
Can I get myself suspended for a couple of days?
What a shock. Yes. The day after Thanksgiving, you're suspended.
You're fired.
All right. Oh, I'm back already. Okay. Can't I fire myself and reinstate myself? I think I can. Oh, are you filling in the day after Thanksgiving next week? Hal Sparks will be in for us next Friday.
Yeah.
And he doesn't eat turkey, so it won't be logy.
Exactly. I won't be all knotted off and worried about football scores.
The size of Olbermann's audience shot up in the days after his return from his two-day suspension. He 1.5 million on his first day back. Over the next 3 days, he averaged 1.3 million.
File that under don't know what you got till it's gone.
Exactly.
Don't know what.
There's apparently been some behind-the-scenes falderal still going on, though, at MSNBC. I'll see if I can find out more tonight.
Very exciting.
Okay. Pardon me. Phil Griffin, apparently the MSNBC chief, threatened to fire Olbermann if he went ahead with a threat to talk about the issue on Good Morning America. So there's still a little dissension.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then Olbermann took on, Ted Koppel, didn't he, on Monday? Did you watch
that? Ted Koppel?
Yes.
I'm Ted Koppel, and this is my own hair.
I'm captain of the false equivalency team.
What do you call it? Koppel wrote a piece about how, you know, journalism is dead. And it's...
Olbermann and Beck are the same thing. Shut up.
Yes. Olbermann, in a Twitter message, said he was going to address Koppel's failed equivalence in his part in the death of Real News.
Yeah, you know what? And there's no difference between Pat Robertson and Ted Koppel. How do you like that?
Yeah.
If you're both presenting a point of view.
I think he's always been a secret conservative.
Koppel. Well, that's why those are the only people
I mean, there's
who say
no
that.
Question that whatever you want to call it, news information, has changed with so many outlets and cable and the internet and all that. But this is the thing that drove me crazy about Jon Stewart's stuff. I think it is false equivalence. I do think MSNBC tries. I mean, and they're not. It's not like they're hiding that they have a liberal slant, but they try to report facts. It is just different from what Fox does. Fox is, you know, the television arm of the Republican Party.
Yeah. So. And arguably, I mean, they're already deciding who's going to be the 2012 GOP candidate.
And by the way, MSNBC, as you and I say, they did some beating up on the president almost as good as Fox did. So it's not they don't take just a party line like Fox does. All right, 19 minutes to the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh,
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. I do so love said that talk.
Oh, yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. Oh, it's our weekly Gene in St. Paul with us. How is so cute call. Hi, Gene.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hiya.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm so excited. Hey, I got to tell you, I live in Minnesota, and I saw Hal Sparks on Twin Cities Live.
Oh, right.
You were awesome, and you were so gorgeous. Oh,
isn't
my gosh.
He cute? Oh, my God.
No, I've heard all about this, but Stephanie, I've never seen him until then.
Oh, my God, it's so dreamy.
I was homesick because I had the damn flu. Darn flu. And so I thought, well, I'd look a little bit of television. And there he was. And I couldn't go to his little concert thing.
My little show.
All right. Well, Gene, strap yourself in because he's about to do his Ruth Gordon impression. And that is a chick magnet thing. All right? Here we go.
No, I'm not going to do it. You can't force me to do it. It's not it's important.
Every week we get inundated. Please have a healthy dose of some Ruth Gordon. Please.
Ruth Gordon.
Please.
Now do the orangutan.
All right.
Okay. Okay.
Outsmarted by a banana head. You're leaving old lady at home alone.
That's a reason to see that movie again.
Roll me in the clover. Roll me in the clover. I love
once
her.
Once you wind them up, you
so
can.
So much.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's like an Irish accent. Once you get started, it's hard to shake.
Yep. All right.
So don't start.
Don't start. Don't start.
Okay. Speaking of being outsmarted by banana heads, so, oh, that Mitch McChinless. He's taking a stand, isn't he, on earmarks?
Are turtles eat bananas?
You know he's right, and this is shocking, but...
Yes.
Thing. If without earmarks, the president gets to decide where else, or the senior people in the Budgetary Committee and the Senate, meaning the Democrats, get to decide where all of it goes. The earmarks.
Yes, which is why he didn't want to do it.
Right.
But he lost to the Tea Party.
You don't understand this president, because he'll build trains everywhere. You won't understand what's going on. He'll give money to medical research.
But seriously, this is the first battle between the Tea Party and the establishment, and the first round Tea Party
wins.
Yeah. There's so many trains, I won't be able to cross the tracks.
Yeah.
Quick enough. High-speed trains.
So, I'll be baking on my belly in the hot sun.
And oh, Leon by the way, wait, let's go to his friend Harry Reid tried to save him from this, but...
I think it's a tremendous step backwards. It just gives more power to the executive. I am not one that believes in that, and I am not in favor of delegating my constitutional responsibility to the White House.
Yes, which is exactly what Mitch McConnell said before he got scared of the Tea Party.
Right. We have a great opportunity here to demonstrate that we are responding to what the American people clearly would like for us to do. Cut the spending, cut the debt, and get private sector job creation going again.
Yeah, you go after that $18 billion out of a $3 trillion bill. You just choke
do
the
it.
Crap out of that deficit with your $18 billion in savings
somebody,
on parks.
Somebody is scared of Jim DeMint and his junior DeMints.
I'm real proud of our leadership. They listened to not only fellow Republicans, but of the voters.
No, they didn't.
Mm-mm.
No, they didn't. And as a matter of fact, those voters are going to be pissed off when their local area stuff isn't getting what they had before.
I know.
And the White House is dictating it. Like, the president is telling us where we can spend our money. Dude, you abdicated it.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't not get spent.
It's another edition of this is what you voted for.
All the money that is going to be spent on earmarks is going to be spent anyway.
Oh, and here's what else is coming, by the way, if the teabaggers win the next round. Government shutdown! This is what you voted for. The last time Republicans recaptured control of Congress, FYI, here are the fun facts. They shut down the federal government after President Clinton rebuffed their efforts to impose deep cuts on education spending and Medicare. Cooler heads narrowly prevailed in preventing the U.S. from defaulting on its debt in 95 and 96, which would have had devastating consequences, including a worldwide economic catastrophe, but the episode ultimately cost American taxpayers more than $800 million and shook international confidence in U.S. government bonds. Rather than seeking to avoid a repeat, many in the GOP are calling for repeat government shutdown now that they've regained the reins of power. The newest member of the shutdown caucus, Representative Louis Gohmert of Texas, who is best known for fear-mongering about terror babies and saying that hate crimes legislation would lead to necrophilia. That guy.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Oh, that's not.
He said that we owe it to our children and grandchildren to shut down the government.
Okay.
Right. Especially those grandchildren of grandparents whose services will be cut in half during that shutdown.
Yes.
Yeah.
We will tell you what Rand Paul and the tribble on his head had to say about government shutdown and how his ideas.
The trouble.
Equal. Every day is Groundhog Day. If you're Rand Paul's comb.
That's sweet. Your life could be worse. You can be Rand Paul's comb. Okay, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Say
Stephanie Miller
was hot and slutty too.
She didn't say, but hot sluts hang out together.
Excellent.
I've heard that.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12 the phone number. Kevin in Chicago. Hi, Kev.
Hey.
Hi. Go ahead.
The biggest problem I think everyone's having with the TSA pat down is they need to name it 7 minutes to heaven.
Right.
And
put you in a closet.
Married people and losers. Lonely losers will have a little fun in their lives.
And a little impetus to fly, quite frankly. I mean, the airline industry needs some help, and we could sex this whole process up.
Go.
Listen,
exactly.
Kevin, a woman my age, but if I'm taking that much stuff off, someone's having sex with me. You know what I mean?
Well, I understand. Exactly. Seven minutes, you know? Yeah. 3 minutes to start it up, 4 minutes to finish it off, and on your plane, a happy person.
You have a TSA happy ending, then.
I just Twittered, you know, is it wrong during your TSA pat-down to say, let me help you with that, and then fondle your own junk vigorously?
Yes, I think technically it probably would be considered wrong.
Just asking for clarification.
There's the danger
all.
Of unauthorized liquids in your pants.
That's true, right, exactly.
Sure.
You're checking
for
it.
Which
may,
or
may not have,
place,
may,
you know.
Which may or may not have been there before you started the pat down.
Right. Did you pack your own bag?
Stop it, all of you, stop it.
Did you pack your own bag?
Stop it.
Did you pack your own junk?
Oh, God.
Ryan in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I came in on the tail end of that false equivalency argument you guys were making.
Yes,
yeah, I think what the mainstream, because they're owned by the corporate media, they want to equate Bill O'Reilly to Keith Olbermann because they want the independents to all look at them.
Yeah.
They want the independents to say, okay, that's extreme left, that's extreme right. You guys all look at us because we're straight down the middle when that's not the case.
I think you're right. I think there's also a case to be made for them saying Bill O'Reilly and Olbermann are the same, and everybody's just saying their piece. Meanwhile, Fox is available on more cable systems in hotels and in airports and all that kind of stuff. So you go, well, it's six of one, half dozen of another. You might as well watch us.
Exactly.
Right.
And to the Democrats who didn't vote a couple Tuesdays ago. Mm-hmm. When the Republicans go to the ballot box to vote, they don't vote for one piece of legislation. They go to vote to beat Democrats.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
That's period. We sit at home because one piece of one part of a legislation doesn't pass. But when they go to vote, they go vote to win.
Right.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. All right. Well,
I'm going to send a message by voting against my interests.
Yeah.
That'll show them.
I'm going to stay home and saw my own feet off to protest jogging. Because jogging makes me wheeze.
Yeah, but let's see how they...
Protest Uggs. I refuse to wear them, so I'm going to cut off my feet.
Right.
Yeah, here's another edition of Let's See How They Govern. Okay. So, just when you think there's a moment of reasonableness, Rand Paul comes out against state government shutdown.
Uh-huh.
Which you're like, okay, maybe he's reasonable.
The other
he's
dropped.
Like his dad. You're like, yes, yeah, what? No, what do you say?
Well, I agree with Ron Paul nearly 50% of the time.
Right.
But then something crazy comes out.
Well, that's the whole point.
Anyway, he says he opposes any effort by Republicans to shut down the federal government. He said, I think it's a mistake. Nobody really wants that. That's sort of government by chaos. But then here's what he says. Yes. We'll give them a choice. He's talking about the budget. Balance it in 1 year, balance it in 2 years. We'll give them a choice.
I'm not saying chaos is a bad thing.
Yes. However, his plan for a balanced budget would almost certainly cause chaos and even possibly a shutdown if Republicans stand behind him. Offering Congress a quote-unquote choice between balancing the budget in 1 year or two, as we talked to Congressman Schakowsky about earlier today, that's completely impossible.
Right.
You cannot take the deficits that George Bush gave us and balance them in a year or two.
The other thing, too, is if you're looking towards investment as a country, if you're going to be a bunch of adults and treat America as a house instead of an apartment that you rent, then you look, saying that we're going to balance the budget in 2 years and we're going to eliminate the deficit this quickly is the equivalent of going up to anybody in this country and going, you're going to pay off your mortgage in the next year or you're getting out on the street.
If you really want to balance budget,
or you live in a tent.
Pay cash for your house.
Exactly. That's what you're saying. If you're saying that to every homeowner in the country, you'd be laughed out of out of their yard or run off with a shotgun. But it's somehow saying it to the government, which is taking care of us as a collective. That's somehow okay.
Lynette in Minneapolis, hello.
Oh, hi, you
hello.
Guys. You know, I got to see Hal in Minneapolis perform, and here's what happened. We got there a little bit late. They said the show is sold out, and I had no idea that Hal was going to get me in, so that was completely unexpected and very wonderful.
Oh, yeah, you were staying there, and they were like, we listened to you on Steph, and we can't get in
because
it's
sold out.
That was the
magic word.
And I went, okay, let me see what I can do. And
I appreciated that because I brought my Republican boyfriend, as I told you.
Yes.
I was a little nervous that you were going to do political stuff, but I guess what I'm learning from dating him is this is why I think Democrats back down to Republicans because Republicans, when they get mad about something, it's kind of icky and you just want to avoid that whole scene.
Right.
And so you kind of just end up placating them, and I'm learning that I don't need to do that. If I have an opinion, I have a right to that opinion and not to back down, and
right.
So I was kind of stressed out by going to that show, so I'm really glad you didn't do political stuff, but then I was kind of wishing you would.
Oh, listen, the penis is a wind sock puppet or wind puppet, whatever that bit is. It's the bipartisan healer. The bipartisan healer.
Although, I do, and if you'll notice, there's a lot of, in this new set especially, there's a lot of religious stuff, and there's a lot of gay rights stuff in it, and there's a lot of Prop 19-oriented kind of things.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I just saw on CNN a Santa Claus trip and smash his head
drunk
into the back
Santa
of the car.
In a parking garage.
Sorry, it's very distracting. But the point is that in my show, I do cover those topics, but I do it in an apolitical way to try and make the conversation about it on a social level. And I seem to get a lot more traction with people than if I bring up Dick Cheney.
Well,
in the process.
And Lynette, but Lynette, that's part of what, we keep, I come from obviously a Republican family. Part of the message of our show is that, you don't have to be gay to believe in marriage equality. You don't have to be Hispanic to think the Arizona law is racist. You don't have to be Muslim to think we should be able to build a place of worship anywhere we want in this country. Mm-hmm. So, this right-wing caller earlier, Lynette, I don't know if you heard it, but he said something about all you gays. And Jim's like, huh?
What do you mean we Hal and Jim?
Hal and Jim bring the heterosexual quotient to 6,000.
We totally
they turned it up to 11 on this show.
This goes to 11.
No, but I mean, that's it, isn't it? The assumption that, you must be gay if you're for gay rights.
That's the trouble I've always run into is that when I get interviewed, people always used to get mad because people would ask me if I was, gay or straight. And so I would say I was straight because that's the truth. And people would sometimes go, oh, he's making interviewers ask him so that because he's homophobic. Like if I would take queer as folk if I was homophobic. But but beyond that, the reason I was like, no, they ask me and they keep asking me and I couldn't figure out why. And it was because they're really asking me, are you gay yet? Because they think I'm lying. Because the subtle message is if you're gay, you don't have any straight friends. You only have gays that haven't come out yet.
And if you're for the Civil Rights Amendment, you're secretly black.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Oh, heavens. Bill O'Reilly on... why did I know the president's trip would be a failure before he even left?
Yeah.
Things did not go well in the Far East last week, and now the president's home and immediately has to deal with the Bush tax code. As you may know, the president wants to hike taxes for the affluent, but that is an unpopular strategy, and Talking Points believes the president will pull back and extend the Bush tax code for everybody. That, of course, will infuriate the far left, which desperately wants income redistribution in this country.
It's popular with people who make as much money as Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, notice the shift in language from Bush tax cuts to Bush tax code. As they rehab Bush's image, they're also switching that word from cut to code.
Frank Luntz is a genius.
Oh, totally.
Evil genius.
Yeah.
We need one of those.
All right. Fred Barnes.
But it would cost us $1 million.
Mm-hmm. And our souls.
Fred Barnes on the prepare.
$1 million.
All right, Fred Barnes.
Just you're going to
be frisked in a way you've never been frisked before in your life. Look, they have to do something to get a grip there. Now, look, it's not all their fault. I mean, one of the problems is they're not allowed to do what is obvious, what they need to do, and that's profile. They have to look. It's easy to find out to be able to go and say, well, look, this 3-year-old girl, she probably is someone we can just let go through. The 80-year-old grandfather, and it's a little different when you have the Muhammad Atta lookalike. You know, you want him to be someone that you do frisk.
Yeah, because that's what you want to do. You want to profile people so that the right wing psychopaths like Timothy McVeigh know that they can skate right through.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't have to worry
and
about any
way,
extra screening because
if you look at the pictures of all of
brown person.
All of the recent terrorists, they all look completely different.
Yep.
I think you should frisk Bobby Jindal. He looks kind of foreign to me.
Well, okay. Exactly, though. I mean, this is the Arizona law played out everywhere that you need to. This is the German thing that everybody was warning us about, healthcare, and Obama's a Nazi. Meanwhile, they want show us your papers at every port.
And now here are some diet tips from Rush Limbaugh.
We are either morbidly obese, fat slobs, needing the attention of the First Lady, Michelle Maybelle Obama, or we are a hungry nation with food insecurity. Which is it? I'm beginning to think food insecurity is what causes obesity. There can be no other explanation. If you're food insecure, what do? You eat. If you eat too much to deal with your food insecurity, then you get fat.
So Michelle Obama made you fat? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess. Thanks for the window into your lack of impulse control. But let's be honest about it. One of the reasons why there's nutritionally deficient human beings who are technically obese in the poverty world is because the food that they're eating is
nutrition.
High caloric intake, high glycemic, so it causes diabetes, and nearly nutritionally void.
And you eat more because your body's craving nutrition, which is not
and
in
it's
the
not
junk.
Getting it.
It's
right.
Getting a lot of empty calories.
Right, exactly. So you have fat, malnourished people who have more diabetes and more disease and more cancer. That's, by the way, more expensive to treat and drives up your health care costs. Moron.
Okay. Glenn, thank you. Glenn back on the
radio. Not everybody gets fat with super steaks.
Security sucks. Do we need security? Yeah. Yeah, we do. Let everybody carry a gun.
What?
Carry a gun. You got a license to carry a gun? Carry it on
good
the
idea.
Plane.
Yep, good idea.
You think somebody's going to get up on the plane a box cutter? Really? Are you? With a bunch of Texans? Nope.
If you
get your little box cutter out. Boom.
If you fire a gun on a plane at altitude, the fuselage will explode.
And everybody else, and you're gun-toting. But and you know what? They won't have to pry the gun from your cold, dead hand, because even though you will freeze because you're at 35,000 feet.
Because you
will
blown out the window.
And you'll be shredded by the shrapnel as you're dragged across the fuselage. And
at 36,000 feet.
As your head slams through the toilet.
As you know, they will continue to serve alcohol, and that's always be a good mix.
You think somebody's going to get on a plane with a box cutter with a bunch of Texans with guns? Nobody's going to get on a plane with a bunch of Texans with guns.
A bunch of drunk Texans with guns.
Right.
With all seriously, the incidents of air rage that we've seen lately, can you imagine with guns?
Right.
I've said to shut that baby up. It's like, oh, my God.
Then what happens? We do emotional tests on people to see if they're going, and then where would they be? You can't do emotional tests on me. That's a hate crime violation.
I done blowed up the plane, but at least I killed some Arabs.
It'll make that guy on the food cart seem like the good old days.
Totally, yeah.
Remember when people could just climb on the food cart and that was a bad flight?
Make like a frozen yogurt dispenser.
Oh, God.
Sorry to do it to you, but Sarah Palin to finish out.
We need to start asking, where did our country start going wrong in terms of penalizing the productive?
Right.
In terms of being prejudiced against those who are the job creators, the wealth owners, because they are the ones who are most productive in a lot of sense, and they are to be rewarded for their work ethic. And instead, what government, what Obama, Pelosi, Reid are doing, they're prejudice against these job creators. They're punishing them, and that's eroding the work ethic that we hopefully will be raising our children with.
Oh, yeah,
speaking of which, while you're out making money, one of your daughters is getting knocked up, and the other one's writing homophobic slurs on Facebook. Yeah. Pay attention!
And the job creators were creating jobs in China and
right,
India.
Exactly.
This not is, here.
Yeah.
You whore.
Where?
Jim Louise.
Ward. The point is, and Jim, you make an excellent point in that.
She's a whore?
No.
Not that one.
Well, from a business standpoint, she clearly says what she's told. I mean, you could argue with that point, I suppose. But the point being is that the jobs that she's, the people she's protecting, offshore most of their income.
Exactly.
They offshore, I mean, this is, you know.
They're very productive.
The biggest attack on the quote-unquote rich in this country has been the fact that Obama and Pelosi and Reid were trying to eliminate a lot of the tax breaks. Right. And loopholes, so they couldn't move their money to the Cayman Islands and the jobs to Mexico.
You've been
Mexico.
Very good, and so we will have a Savage Wiener for dessert. A little Savage Wiener for dessert as we continue. Hey, by the way, that was the best point we've made. Rush Limbaugh, if you're getting fat on Kobe steaks, you really are a pig, because you have no impulse control at all.
Yep.
You have the money to eat really well.
Takes work, Mr. Baked Potato, with the extra chives.
Sour cream? I need more sour cream! What the hell is this?
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow. Okay, so you're...
Stephanie Miller.
That don't impress me.
Oh, Santa. Oh, Santa. Oh, no, Pete from the elevator.
Bad Santa. Bad Santa.
Oh, no, bad Santa. Okay, that's up on my Facebook page.
Bam. You'll put your eye out.
Wow. The drunken, what is it, the parking garage Santa. Yeah. Oh, dear. 53. Oh. He's okay. 53 minutes after the hour. Yeah, he's staggering drunkenly through a parking garage and peeing on various cars. And
Break.com.
Yes.
And the link. I also put the link up in the chat and on my Twitter at Hal Sparks so that everybody could grab it if they're listening and watching. There you go.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, at least the elevator people hoped that he was peeing. Otherwise, Christmas just came early. Hey, what? I don't know what he was doing. Santa!
Too much turkey.
That's hilarious.
Mayor John of West Hollywood on the phone for Hal Sparks. Hal, it's for you!
Hi,
Mayor John.
I heard all the discussion there about Hal, whether he was straight or gay, and I had to weigh in as mayor of the Munchkin City.
Yes.
So, as mayor, I must confer, I thoroughly examined her, and he's not merely anti-hate, he's totally, completely straight.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's interesting. Again, I really do think that that's part of the message that they try to do, is when you're straight and you're an advocate and you're really trying to help, they will come to you, they'll make a circle of talk around you, essentially saying, well, you know, probably gay.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Because the idea is you want to make gay people feel isolated. You want to make them feel like they don't have hope or friends, and that can't be the case. So,
yeah, and, you know, of course, gay people want to think you're gay just because you're hot.
Well, that's true. I mean, I'm massively cute, and that's...
A girl can dream. All right, thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
All right, let's have some Savage Wiener for dessert here. In right-wing world. Michael Savage.
As long as we don't have illegal aliens, let them be from Ireland. At least I can understand them. Now go into overdrive. Ooh, Michael Savage said, as long as they can be illegal aliens, let them be from Ireland. I can understand them. Blah, blah, blah. This shows implications of racism. Blah, 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 blah. Insensitivity to people of Hispanic descent. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, shove it up your behind. See if I care. Shove it up your ears already. I hate all of you, you left-wing vermin. It's up to me. I deport all of you. Go to hell, all of you left-wing communist bastards. All of you. Snooping on talk show hosts, sending it to Soros' front group, Media Matters.
You know why he's saying that?
Starting with Allen Ginsberg. I hate that commie. Oh, wait.
You know why he's saying that is because we're the only ones who listen to his show, because people who pull clips for his madness are the only people that actually listen to it.
You know what I love is the "aren't liberals angry" meme that seems to have developed on the right. Oh, I'm sorry. What's that, Bill O'Reilly? You'll do it which way? You'll
do it live.
Okay.
I'll write it and we'll do it live.
All right.
Thing sucks.
Again, you know, when Bill has a problem with his teleprompter, he's up S. Creek, because if you listen to any of his talking points, this is the first time he's seen that crap.
By the way, here's how our new era of bipartisanship is going. A meeting planned on Thursday between President Obama and congressional leaders has been postponed until November 30th. The meeting was put off at the request of Republican leaders in the Senate, and the House is due to a scheduling conflict. They have a much more important thing with a much more important guy than the leader of the free world.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just as,
by the way... putting him in his place.
By the way, and also the other meme is the Democratic Party in complete disarray, whereas it looks like ready to keep Nancy Pelosi. Everybody is, they've kissed and made up. Everybody's moving forward on their side.
And there's that lame duck session.
Just
where
on
we
the
actually get stuff done.
On the other side, just as Republicans begin announcing or preparing bids to challenge Michael Steele as chairman of the RNC, his top political director has quit and is skewering Steele in the process.
What a surprise.
Yes, the RNC political director resigned from his post with a stinging indictment of Michael Steele's 2-year tenure. He lays out inside details previously only whispered about the disorganization that plagues the party. He asserts that the RNC's financial shortcomings limited Republican gains and reveals the committee's deeply in debt entering the 2012 presidential cycle.
Make them spend their ammo on the trees.
On our side, we do have to say Charlie Rangel.
Charlie Rangel
was found guilty on 11 ethics charges.
Yep,
and they will be figuring out his
due process has been shattered in order to complete the work this year. Don't you really believe that under any process I should be able to talk to the 40 witnesses or to call the 40 witnesses or to hear what they've had to say? I would think so.
But right now I'm going to break into song.
Shadoobie, shadoobie.
Hal's off to Portland. HalSparks.com has all the info. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bye.